This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I was told to speak for about 20 minutes, and I will try to make it as short and beneficial as possible. When people look at Islam, they look at it from different angles. And subhanAllah, you get some Christians, some Jews, some Hindus, they hate Islam and they wait for every opportunity to attack Islam. But once they become Muslims, they totally change. They love Islam. They look at Islam differently. Likewise, you, before becoming practicing, you did not like Islam very much. The beard doesn't look nice. Hijab is very primitive. I'd like to enjoy my hair. Once you become practicing, everything changes. What changed? You're the same person. Okay, you are the same person, but what changed is this. What is this? My glasses, the way I look at things. And this is what Islam came with. Islam came with new pair of glasses that makes you see things how Allah wants you to see them. So it is not your intellect or mine. It is not your logic or mine that makes things good or bad. It is what these Islamic skepticals make you see things. If you look at Islamic values, you will find that a lot of things in Islam are looked at from different angles according to how people look. In marriage, for example, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, a woman is sought after for four things: her beauty, her wealth, her lineage, and her religious commitment. Then the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, take the woman with the religious commitment, or otherwise your hands will be dusted, meaning you will not gain anything. So normal people would choose a wife, number one, for what? Beauty. Definitely. If I bring you a monkey with a lot of money, maybe, but without money, I will not take it. So everyone, when getting married, wants a beautiful woman. And every woman, when she gets married, she wants a handsome man, not someone with 5 months pregnancy, like so many people do. May Allah forgive us. So the Prophet says, no, keep this aside. A lot of men don't want to work, so they marry from a rich family. And he wants a sugar mummy. She spends on him. A lot of people don't care about money or beauty, but they care about prestige. Oh, my wife is from family so-and-so. They're very influential. They're very well-known. The Prophet says, all of this put aside. Because all of this, without religion, you'll be lose. You will be in loss, as if you're holding dust. So this is what Islam tells us. And Allah Azza wa Jal also tells the parents, when someone proposes to your daughter, if he has good religious commitment and good akhlaq, give him in marriage. Okay, Shaykh, but he's poor. No problem, Allah will make him rich. إِيَّكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If they're poor, Allah Azza wa Jal will make them rich from His grace. Trust Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, if you think about how we evaluate people, I look at the brother and I say, MashaAllah, he's from a very prestigious family. He has a good government position. This is not how we evaluate people in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting once with one of his companions, and a man walked. And this man was very prestigious, having very nice clothes, from a good family. So the Prophet says, Aslam, what do you think of this man? So the companion said, oh Prophet of Allah, this man is very noble. He's from a very prestigious family. This man, if he would propose to a woman, they would accept. If he would intercede, they would accept. If he would speak, they would listen. This guy is very good. So the Prophet did not say a thing. 5 minutes later, another man walks. So the Prophet says, what do you think of this man? So the companion said, oh Prophet of Allah, this guy is from the poor Muslims. If he proposes, nobody gives him in marriage. If he intercedes, they would reject him. If he speaks, nobody listens. The Prophet said, alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man is better than 1,000 men of this world. So the Prophet is what? Changing our way of looking at people. He says, maybe there is a man who has uncombed hair, who has dust in his hair, who has poor clothes. If he would raise his hands and say, Ya Rab, Allah will answer him. So what counts at the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal is not authority. It is not your wealth, your money. Allah says in the Quran, so let not their wealth or their children amaze you, O Muhammad. In reality, Allah plans is to punish them with these things. So the wealth that people have is not always a blessing. It can be a punishment from Allah. But we, mashallah, he has a fancy car. Mashallah, he has a beautiful house. Mashallah, he has a lot of money. Not knowing that they will pay a lot for this. Do you know that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the poor people, like you and me, will enter paradise 500 years before the rich. The rich will enter paradise 500 years after the poor. Why? Will they go to hell? No, no, no. But they will spend 500 years answering questions. Where did you get the money? Where did you spend it in? So the poor are always luckier than the rich when it comes to this. Also, our definition of someone who's broke is a person who doesn't have money, doesn't have credit card, doesn't have any bank account. But what does the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wasalam? He said to the companions, do you know who's broke? So the companion said, someone who doesn't have money. He said, no. A person who's broke is a person who comes on the day of judgment. He has prayers, he has fasting, he has charity, he gives. But he, in this dunya, took the money of this man, backbite this man, slandered this man, beaten this man, made the blood shed from this man. So on the day of judgment, he will give from his good deeds to them. What happens if his good deeds are over? He will take from their bad deeds and it will be put on him and he will be thrown in hell. Although he used to pray, fast, and give charity, this made him no better man. He's broke. This is how we evaluate people. When you speak about strength, one of the brothers I was with 5 minutes ago was taking a selfie with me. He says, Sheikh, do you do MMA? I said, no, alhamdulillah. I do 9mm. You know what's 9mm? This is better than MMA. MMA, you have to work 2-3 hours every day and shower and get injury. 9mm is pew, khalas. No problem, alhamdulillah. So when it comes to strength, who's the strongest? The one who bench presses? The one who does 150 push-ups? No. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, a strong man is not a man who fights. A strong man is the one who controls his anger. This is how we look at things. We evaluate people by what we see, and this is not right. In Islam, we evaluate people by what they can do. For example, I am a scholar. I look at you. What are you? Who are you? What did you do? I give lectures. I give advice. I travel. I give khutbah. I give dars. I'm better than you, right? No, it's not right. How do you know, Sheikh? I'll tell you. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, 1 dirham out raised 100,000 dirham. How's that? 1 dirham is better at the sight of Allah than 100,000. How? The Prophet said, alayhi salam, one man had only 2 dirham. So he took one and gave it to charity. How much did he give? 50%. And another man had millions. So he took 100,000 and gave it to charity. How much did he give? 1%. So it shows you that don't look at how many lectures the Sheikh is giving, how many dars, how many khutbah, because Allah knows I can do better, I can do more, but I'm not doing more. Why? I'm lazy. So when I look at you, I cannot look down at you and say, I'm better than you. Because according to your knowledge, your ability, you're doing far more than I'm doing. So you are closer to Allah than me. This is how we look and evaluate things. If you look at quality versus quantity, what is most important? Quality. Why? Listen, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if one of you makes perfect wudu and prays two rak'ah without speaking to himself about dunya, what will happen? Allah forgives all of his previous sins. Two rak'ah. But at the same time, how did he describe the Khawarij? He says, you look at your prayers next to theirs and you think that we don't pray because they pray all day, all night. Is their prayer valid? No. The Prophet said, they come out of religion as the arrow comes out from a prey. So their prayers is invalid. Allah will not accept it. This is how you evaluate things in Islam, by quality. And most of us look at things in a bad way, such as sickness. I am sick, alhamdulillah, but I'm getting better. How do I see my sickness? Oh, it's very bad. I cannot eat nasi goreng, satay. I didn't. Since I arrived, I did not eat any Indonesian food. I can't with my appetite. So do I think of it as bad? No. I say, alhamdulillah, Allah erases my sin. Allah makes me appreciate the long years I had of good health. And Allah makes me understand how small, weak, vulnerable I am. So I will not be arrogant. I will always think, okay, any moment now, angel of death comes and says, let's go. Go where? You'll find out. Come. So I'm always ready. Because I have lived a long life, alhamdulillah. I enjoyed every moment of it. This illness is a ni'mah from Allah. Imagine the Prophet of Allah, Ayyub. Allah tested him with an illness. How many years? 18 years. He was ill. People took him and threw him out of the village next to a dumpster because of his illness, the way he looked, the way he smelled. He's a prophet of Allah, 18 years. And he was patient, and he was tolerant, and he was content. After 18 years, Allah made him well, gave him his family, gave him wealth. What kind of wealth? After being really poor, locusts fell from the heavens, gold and silver. You know locusts? They come in millions and billions of swarms. They came gold and silver on him. And he started collecting, putting in his pockets. Allah told him, Ayyub, what are you doing? I have given you so much. And he says, I cannot get enough from your grace, O Allah. And he keeps collecting this wealth. So even illness, we see it differently than others. People with no iman, they complain. Why me? I remember once I visited an old relative of mine. He was 70. And he was a very good man. So I came to him and I said, Uncle, may Allah cure you and get your health back. He said, my son, I have no complaints. But my only problem is, I have been praying in this masjid for 50 years, every fard. And look how my health is. My neighbor never prayed one rak'ah in this masjid. And he's as healthy as a bull. He's healthy. And I said, Astaghfirullah, uncle, this is kufr. Are you blaming Allah? Are you saying because I prayed 50 years, look at me? And because he did not pray for 50 years, look at him? This is how people with little iman, little knowledge, can easily flip from Islam to kufr. You should have seen this as a test, and the uncle has lost his test. He's failed. Instead of saying, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So basically speaking, when it comes to judging others and judging life, we have to look at things not through our logic, rather through the Islamic glasses. If you go and visit some Arab countries, they accuse one another of being extremists. I come from Saudi Arabia. Women usually cover their faces. If I go to another Arab country, they say, you're extremists. Why? You make women cover. Our women don't cover. Says, okay, we're not going to cover. If you go to another Arab country, a little bit liberal, like Tunisia, for example, they don't wear headscarf. They wear maxi, short sleeves. And they say, you're extremist. Why? Because you cover your women's hair. I said, okay, we take hijab off. You go to France, they say, you're extremist. Why? So you're not wearing bikini. This is civilization. You have to allow your women to wear whatever they want. Okay, let them wear bikinis. You go to Spain or to Greece, said you're extremist. Come on. Excuse me. Yes, we have topless. What topless? Topless. And this is found in Greece and Spain, in streets. I've seen this, I've been there. But the second, astaghfirullah. So, what is right and wrong? You cannot tell. Only the Quran and the Sunnah would tell you what is right and what is wrong. When you apply the glasses of Quran and Sunnah, you become the beloved servant of Allah. Allah loves you. And you will see people as Allah wants you to see them. And I think this is the time, because my watchman is standing next to me telling me it's enough. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.